Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. Be'ezus Hashem, we will begin Simen Yud. We had a wonderful few weeks of vacation from the Shir, and now we're back to learning Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer, Simen Yud is on the topic of Machzir Grushaso, a mitzvah in the Torah, I should say a losa, say in the Torah, that once a person divorces his wife, he is not permitted to take her back. But we have to see the details, when that applies, when that doesn't apply. There are very limited circumstances when that is actually true. So let us start from the very beginning of the sugya, and that's the psukim in Parshas Ki Tetzé, which we will get to in just a few weeks. And this is the parsha of Gittin. And in the parsha of Gittin, we're going to find the mitzvah that we have to learn. So the Torah tells us, Ki yikach ish isho ba'ala, v'hayim lo sim tzachem be'enav, ki matzah be'erves davar, whatever erves davar is. So v'kosel ha-sefer krisos, v'nasam biyada, and this pasuk, of course, is the source for the entire Maseches Gittin, that he has to give his wife a get. And she goes and marries, the Torah says, another man. V'yatza mi-beisa v'halcha v'haysel ish acher. And lo and behold, the second husband also doesn't like her and also gives her a get, and or the second husband dies, and therefore this woman is a free bird for the second time. Tells us the Torah, once this woman had married that second man in the interim, since having been divorced from the first husband, lo yuchal baila harishon asher shlacha, the first husband who had sent her away is not permitted lashuv lekachta, to take her back to be a wife. Acharei asher hutama, once she had been with another husband, ki so'eva hi lefnei Hashem, it's disgusting for a woman to be with a husband, then to be with a different man, then to come back to her original husband. That's considered a to'eva, and don't ruin Eretz Yisrael with such kinds of tuma. Fine. That's the pasuk of Machzir Grushaso. Now we have a very important question to clarify. When the Torah says that this woman, again, she was married to husband A and got divorced, and she married husband D, what kind of marriage did she have to husband B that will prohibit her, that will ask her from going back to her original husband? And this is a discussion Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The question that we have here, the machlokas that we have, is going to be whether the marriage to that second husband that thereby prohibits her. Let's just clarify one point. If a woman gets divorced and wants to go back to her husband, that's totally, totally fine. If a woman and a man and wife get divorced, they're angry at each other, they get divorced, and they realize they're each alone for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they realize how more miserable they are being lonely than they are living together in whatever misery they were with one another. They could definitely get married back to one another. That's totally fine. Unless, of course, he's a Kohen. And once she's a Grusha, he can't take her back because she's a Grusha. But if he's not a Kohen, and they got divorced, and they each have stayed single throughout the years to follow, and they realize that they would rather be together in misery than lonely because it's more miserable to be lonely, they could get married. The Torah only says that there's an Issa D'oraisa of Machzir Grushaso if she married someone in the interim. The question is, what kind of marriage did she have with that second husband in the interim that would thereby prohibit her to go back to her first husband? And that's the machlokas, whether she had only a nisuin with a new husband will answer her, or even a mere erusin with a second husband, even though they never slept together, they just had erusin together, would even that prohibit her to go back to her first husband? That's the Gemara in Yevamos, Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, and Kippur, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Lazar. Hamachzir Grushaso, it's only going to be Asur for her to go back, min hanisuin Asura. If she had nisuin with a second husband, then she can't go back to her first husband. However, min ha'erisin muteres, she can. Why? Because it's based on a pasuk. Why is only nisuin the problem? Because the Torah said that the first husband is not allowed to take her back for a wife acharei ashehutama, after she had been defiled, meaning after she had been with another man physically. That's what it means, asher acharei hutama. That's what the word hutama means, that she had been defiled with another man. If she only had erusin with this second husband, so even though erusin is legally a marriage, and legally she would, she's tied to him, But that's not called hutama. That's not, she's not tame to him, that second husband. So since the Torah says in the pasuk of Masrei Gerushas Achrei She'ah Tama, it must be that she was living in the house with the second man, they had a physical relationship, and therefore only after Nisuin will she be asked to come back. However, Chachamim argue. Chachamim say, nope, achazu v'achazu asura, even if the second husband only had an erusin, not a Nisuin, they were never together, they never slept together, they were only erusined, that also will prohibit her to come back. Where does he get that from? Interestingly enough, the Braisa doesn't say what Chachamim's source is. It only explained the Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur's. But Rashi will explain. Rashi explains why are Chachamim more machmir and ask her to go back to her first husband, even if there's only erusin with the second husband. Achazu va'achazu asur, zok Rashi, dichsiv v'haisal ish acher. The pasuk in describing after her divorce from her first husband, again, the parasha of Gittin is built to sort of lead into the iser of Machzi Grushaso. When it says that a first husband gave his wife a get, from which we learn all of Hilchas Gittin, the next pasuk says, V'yatsumi beso, v'halcha v'haisal ish acher. What is the word v'haisa l'ish acher? And she was to another husband. That word v'haisa, we see many places that havaya just means a mere legal marriage. It doesn't mean anything more than that. Even erusin would constitute v'haisal ish acher. And therefore, the Chachamim focused not on the words of Rabbi Lazar, achrei she'ah tama, but rather focus on the word v'halcha v'haisal ish acher, that so long as this wife, after her divorce from her first husband, is halcha v'haisa, haisa just means any kind of marriage, even havaya, even just an erusin, already there, she will be subject to the Isra of Machzir Grishaso, of Lo Yuchal Baila Harishon, the first husband cannot take her back. So that's what Rashi says over here. Chachomim say that since the Torah says, V'hoysel ishacher, havaya hainu kiddushin, uchsiv, and it says on this woman who just had a kiddushin, as the Torah indicates, can't go back to her first husband, even erusin is enough to make her off limits to go back. So what do we have here, Rabbi? So we have a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur against Chachamim, whether what the relationship with the second husband prohibits her to go back to the first. Is it only Nisun or even Erisin? Machlokas. Who do you think we paskin like, Rabbi Yossi? Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim. Of course, you guess right. Says the Beis Yosef, V'yadua, that halacha is kechachamim. Of course, halacha is like chachamim. We always pass like the rabbim against the miut, and therefore the halacha will be like the chachamim, that any marriage that she has after her divorce with the husband A, any marriage she has with husband B, whether it's a full nisuin or only a partial marriage, only an erusin, she'll be off limits even by erusin to go back to her first husband. That's the first point of what we wanted to learn today. Now, let's go to the second point before we get to the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to be at two more points before we see the Shulchan Aruch. The next point is going to be a Gemara in Sota, a Mishnah in Sota, actually. And this Mishnah in Sota is going to clarify for us when, indeed, a woman who's divorced is asked to go back to her first husband. This Mishnah in Sota is not talking about the Issur D'oraisa of Machzir Grushaso. That's just going to come in tangentially through the back door. The focus of this Mishnah in Sota is explaining a pasuk in the parasha of Sota that says that when a woman is accused of being a Sota, of being disloyal to her husband and having been with another man, her husband takes her to the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen administers to her a Shavua. V'amra ha'isha amen v'amen. And the woman responds to the Kohen's swearing to her, oath that he administers, amen v'amen. Why are there two amens? That's the Gemara's question, that's the Mishnah's question. Why is there a double amen? And the fact that she says amen v'amen in the pasuk indicates that there must have been two oaths that were administered to her. What were the two oaths that were administered to her, to which she is going to respond, amen on one and amen on the other? So that's the topic of this Mishnah. We're going to have a number of possibilities. Amahi omeres amen amen. What were the two oaths that were administered to this Sota who's being accused of having been with someone other than her husband? Amen al ha'ala, amen al ha'shvua. She's amen on the curse, amen on the fact that she swears she wasn't with another man. Amen me'ish zeh, amen me'ish acher. Let's say the husband accused her of being with John. She wasn't with John, but she was with Joe. So when the Kohen administers Shavua, you have to swear that you weren't with John. So that's all the Kohen said. She's going to say, yes, I wasn't with John. And the second man is, and I also swear that I wasn't with anybody else besides John. I wasn't with Joe either, or anyone else. Fine. Continues the Mishnah. The double Amen also indicates Amen Shalov Satisi Arusa, or Nisua, or Shomeres Yavam, or Knusa. I was never disloyal to my husband at any stage in our marriage, neither while I was Aris to him, nor while I was Nisua to him, nor while I was waiting for Yibam from him. Fine. Fourthly, Amen Shlonit Mesi Vinatnesi Yavobi, the double Amen reflects that she says that I didn't do anything wrong, and if I did, I accept this punishment to come upon me. That's also what the Amen V'Amen reflects. Rabbi Meir has a unique chiddush of what the double Amen indicates that the woman, this accused Soto, responds. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, shlo netmeisu. Amen, shlo etamei. Amen, that yes, I have never been disloyal to my husband. Then amen, I hereby commit myself. I promise I will never be metamei. I'll never be disloyal to my husband in the future. That's fascinating. That's what a sota has to say when she has administered that oath. Okay. Let's put that aside. Continues the Mishnah. Hakol shav, and everyone agrees. Let's say the husband, again, accuses his wife of being a sota. And he's very suspect. And he's worried that, you know, let's say he's married for a few months, he suspects his wife, and he just suspects his wife. It's not a good situation. He suspects his wife of being disloyal. He doesn't know exactly, he doesn't have any exact details, but he suspects that she's been involved with something else, somebody else. Could the husband accuse her of having been with somebody before this husband got married to her? Meaning, let's say the husband got married on January 1st of the new year. Could the husband administer an oath to her, or the Kohen administer an oath to her, that you hereby swear that you weren't with anybody even before you were married to this husband, meaning while you were only Arus to the husband? Or that She'ein masna ima, the Mishnah says, you can't make such an oath. She'ein masna ima lo al kodem shetis ares, vo achar shetis garish. Let's say the husband will end up divorcing her, which again, a regular sota doesn't necessarily have to end up in a divorce if she's not found to be guilty. But could he administer an oath that you cannot be with Joe? Again, let's say Joe is the guy, the accused potential suitor. Could the Kohen administer an oath that you swear you weren't with Joe even before you were married to your husband, nor will you ever be with Joe in the future if your husband does divorce you? No, that far we don't go. That far, the oath of a sota is not allowed to extend anything outside of what the marriage that's presently operating right now. Let's say she's married to Yankel right now. So the Kohen can't administer an oath that says you weren't with Joe before you were married to Yankel, or after you will no longer be married to Yankel. That's not fair to her. Okay. And the next line is what we really need to come to our sugya. Says the Mishnah, Sota daf yud ches amud aleph, Nistra le'echad v'nitmeis, v'acharkach echzira. Lo ha'yamas nima. Let's say she's married to a man, and she got divorced. She was married to a man. She was suspected with this to be with someone else. She got divorced from her husband. After she got divorced from her husband, she was with that other man. She was with him. She was with him all the way. She was mizan with that other man. Then the first husband took her back. So again, what did we just say? We're talking about a case where a man is married to a woman and accuses his wife of being a sota. nothing maybe happened while she was with him as a sota, but then the husband gets divorced from her. She was mizana with that very guy after he divorced her, and then the first husband took her back after she was mizana with another man. So what is this a case of? This is a case where you have a man who's married to a woman. She's mizana with another man, but she didn't have kiddushin with that second man, nor did she have nisun with that second man. She only had znus with that second man. And now she comes back to her husband. When she comes back to her husband, could the oath that the husband administers, or the kohen administers to this woman, include such a case that you have to swear that you weren't with another man, that I'm bringing you back now that you're my wife? Again, a husband can't administer an oath, or a kohen can't administer an oath to a woman that she can't be with somebody after this marriage is over. But what if the husband brings her back and wants to administer an oath, promise me, swear to me that you weren't with another man in between me the first time and me the second time? Says the Mishnah, we will not allow such an oath. We will not allow a woman to have to swear on that. Kol shetibayel v'lo haysa asurilo. If she lived with that other man, that second guy, not her husband, and she would not have been asur to him, meaning if she would come back to marry her first husband, she'd allow to come back to the first husband because she was never married, no irisin, no nisuin, to that suitor that she was with in between the first marriage to her husband and the second marriage to that same husband, you're not allowed to make any tonight. You're not allowed to make her swear that she wasn't with such a man. You have no right to get involved with what she does when she's not married to you, even if you're going to take her back. Explains Rashi. When is a woman usher to come back to her husband? A woman's usher to come back to her husband only, if she was with another, if she was married to another man, or had an erisin to another man. But if she only slept with another man, she is permitted to come back to her original husband. The de'ena, says Rashi, de'ena ne'aseres alav lachzor lo, she's not usher to come back to her original husband. Ela im kein nisei sa'idei kiddushin, she had a real marriage to this other man after her initial marriage, to like an arus or a nas or a person she had nisun with, but not if she just was mizanis. What we just saw, Rabosai, what we just proved is one point. If a woman is married, she gets divorced, and then she is mizana with another man, she is with another man, but there was no kiddushin or no nisuin, she is permitted to come back to her original husband. She is permitted to come back to her original husband. Which means, not only if a man divorces a woman and she... could he take her back? But even if she's mizana with a man and a second man, not her original husband, still, as long as there was no erisin or nisun with that second husband, the first husband can't take her back, even if she slept with somebody else. That's the halacha that we see from this Gemara, this Mishnah as well. Okay, so we found out so far two halachas, that the issa d'oraisa of imaser grushaso does not apply if she was mizana. It only applies if there was nisuin and even erisin. Those are the halachas that we found out now. Now I'd like to figure out a third hashaila before we see the Shulchan Aruch, which will put all these halachas together. The shaila that I want to figure out now is what happens if before she gets married to the first husband, she had znus with John. She had znus with John. Then she gets married to her husband. After her husband divorces her, she is divorced. The fact that she is nus with John originally before she first got married, is that going to be a problem for her husband who had just divorced her to take her back? We will see the answer to that right now. In other words, this is an opposite case. Until now, we were talking about she was married, and after she got divorced, she was with another man. Like, what are the parameters of being with another man that will prohibit her to come back? Now we're talking about the opposite case, where she was with another man before her marriage initially. She got married and divorced. Now we want to know, could he take her back? What if, could he take her back, let's say, even if she was mezana with that guy she was mezana with before even this marriage began? Let's see the story that the Rush was asked. A real story, a real life person, a real life man and woman. I will see the story. There's a little bit of a racy type of situation. Sheila. This is a Shaila Sechuas HaRosh. Klanun Gimel Simen Zayin. The case was, there's a single guy and a single girl, and she's pregnant. And both of them admit that you know, so-and-so is the father. Reuven's the father. Reuven Baal Nara Achas. Reuven comes on a single girl, Venisabra, she becomes pregnant. V'hodu Shneim Shemimena Nisabra. And both admit that Reuven is the father. But you know what they say? They say that Reuven came to this girl, he had in mind that it should be l'shem kiddush, that his bia should be l'shem kiddush. V'amru, they both said, they both admitted, they're both on the same page. There's no questioning about their ne'amanus. V'amru ki mitchila k'sheba aleha, l'shem kiddush ba aleha. Okay, as often happens after a man makes a woman pregnant, he realizes that, you know, he's not really interested in, you know, she's nice as a girlfriend, but not the kind of person he wants to marry, and they break up, and she's now either pregnant, or she's now pregnant, just had a baby, and he runs away. But there's another guy, Shimon. Shimon has a good heart, and he's happy to take in this pregnant woman, and Shimon says, you know what, I'll marry her. Now, if you remember, there's a halacha that if a pregnant woman is not really supposed to marry anybody for 3 months, because we want to make sure that we know who the father is. If there's a gap of that's too short, we might be unsure if she's with one man and another man, we might not know who the father is. So we call that havchana. You'll see that word in a few lines. So we require havchana to distinguish. Havchana means to be mavchin, to distinguish between determining who the father could be or can't be. Look at what the Shaila came before the Beis Din. So remember, Reuven and whoever this Kala is were together and she's pregnant from Reuven, no question about that. Reuven, they claim that Reuven, when he was Boel Har, had in mind Hashem Kiddushin. Now, Reuven runs away, and Shimon does marry her with a chuppah and a kiddushin and a rabbi and Adam and the whole thing. So the shaila comes to the Beis Din as follows. Remember, this is a shaila that a Beis Din sent to the Rush. The Beis Din, whatever town this occurred, sent it to the Rush, the Gadol Hadar. V'nira lila Beis Din, shetinas l'Reuven. The Beis Din thought maybe we should send her back to Reuven, the guy who sort of ran away. We should send her back to him. You know why? Because he's the father of her baby. But they don't know if we send her back to Reuven, right? Reuven should have to raise this kid. Let Reuven take care of her. Reuven should marry her. But now that we're going to say Shimon, who she just got married to, should have to give her a get. After Shimon gives her a get, remember, she got a real kiddushin from Shimon just now. So Shimon will give her a get, and we want to send her back to Reuven. Does she need to wait 3 months before she marries Reuven? What's the whole reason for waiting 3 months? To determine who the father is. But here, both she and Reuven both admit that Reuven is the father. Shimon's like a new guy on the block. He's here, and he's out of the picture. He married her. He did a kiddushin. It was a quick marriage. It's over after a week because the rabbis say she should be taken care of by that Reuven, who's the father of this baby. So fine, Shimon says, okay, fine. You want the father to take care of her? Let the father take care of her. Here's a get. A week after they got married. So now that she's going to go back to Reuven, who they both originally agreed was the real father, maybe there's no need for havchana. Because we know that Reuven's the real father. So just because she happened to have gotten a piece of paper from Shimon, a divorce paper from Shimon, a get from Shimon, so she has to wait 3 months. We know it's from Reuven because Reuven was with her originally. She was pregnant from Reuven even before Shimon came into the picture. O Dilma, says the questioner, Kevin she yadua shahayis mubrez Reuven, ushnehem modim shel shem kiddushin nisyach adoimo. Maybe we say that since originally when Reuven impregnated this girl, and he wanted to marry her, he said that it was a shem kiddushin. So maybe when Shimon was mekadesh her, that was all a farce. Nimtzu kiddushei Shimon beisr, kevin shayadua Shimon beres miRuvain, and therefore Shimon's marriage was a farce, and therefore she doesn't have to wait 3 months after a divorce from Shimon because it was a fake kiddushin. Because ki meizet tam itzrich lahamtin gimel chadash elam mishum havchana v'hachad lekel mecha sharei muberes haisim Reuven. We know who the father is, so maybe we don't have to do any havchana here. Says the tshuva of the Rosh, and this is an important tshuva. I couldn't care less what he had in mind when he impregnated her. I couldn't care less what she had in mind when he impregnated her. You know why? Because whatever they had in mind when they were together, there were no witnesses there. Gam ki omru shneim to l'shem kiddushin is kavod. Even if both the guy and the girl were moda, that they had in mind when they were together, that they had in mind l'shem kiddushin, ein kan chshash kiddushin. Kevin shelo hayu shamei deyichud. If you don't have Edom, you could have a boyfriend and a girlfriend think all they want about the Shem Kiddushin, but that's not marriage because there's no Edom. And therefore, even though Reuven impregnated her with all the thinking about Kiddushin he wants, that's not a marriage. And therefore, when the second husband, when Shimon went ahead and was Mekadosh her properly with Edom, that was Chal. The Kiddushi Shimon have a Kiddushin. And therefore, Kishugirisha Shimon, when Shimon now divorces her, after this very short marriage, because the Beis Din wants the father to take care of this baby, Kishugirisha Shimon, guess what? Even though we know who the father is, we're going to require, says the Paskin Zerash, Tzricha Lahamtin Shlosha Chadashim, Kodim Shetinas L'Ruvain, Afal Pi, Shehim Uberes MiRuvain. Even though she was married to Reuven, I'm sorry, even though she wasn't married to Reuven, even though she is definitely carrying the baby of Reuven, and have chanas to make sure we could know who the father is, we know who the father is, and she's going back to the guy who's the real father of the baby, still, we say, you need 3 months of havchana. Doesn't really make sense, but lo plug chachamim b'inyan havchana. We have a lo plug. And for example, I'll tell you where we apply this low plug of havchana. Let's say you have a 9-year-old gets married. A 9-year-old gets married to one, gets milin or something, now to be with another husband. Now she's going to be with another husband. She can't have a child anyway. Does she have to wait 3 months? Alternatively, let's say you have an 80-year-old woman gets divorced from her husband, or her husband dies. And she now marries a second husband. She's 80 years old. I'm quite confident she's not going to become she's not carrying a potential pregnancy from her first husband at age 80. Does she have to wait 3 months before she remarries? Or right after Shiva, could she get married right away? The answer is she does have to wait 3 months. Why? You want to make sure in case she's pregnant, you'll know who the father is. She's not pregnant. She's 80. Doesn't matter. We have a low plug. Whenever one marriage ends, you always need to wait 3 months before the next marriage, because we're worried about determining who a potential baby's father might be. And therefore, even in cases where it doesn't apply, even an islandist, lo plug chachamim b'irin havchana afilu katana, zekena v'islandist, what happens in the following case? Let's say you have a man who's living in Africa. He's been in Africa for 5 years, and he sends a get with shaliach from Africa to give a get here in Lawrence, in Yerushalayim, wherever it is. And we know that he's in Africa, but he sends a get long distance with FedEx or whoever he sends it with. Does she need havchana? She hasn't been with him. We know that that guy in Africa can't be the father of anybody, any baby she may or may not be carrying right now, because he hasn't been around for years. Still, once she gets her get, she's going to have to wait 3 months before she could remarry. Afila shalach bala bala get. Medina sayam. Kulan tzrichon lahamtin gimel chadashim. Noam signed Hakosev Asher ben Rav Yechiel. That's the pshuva of the Rosh. What did you just see? What I want to extract from this, which is what the Shulchan Aruch is going to extract from this, is that there's a case where she was mezana with the first guy who impregnated her. She then married the second guy. What do we say? He has no problem going back to the first husband. She could go back to the first husband. Not the first guy. She's not really a husband. As long as you wait 3 months. We don't say that a znus followed by a marriage, you can't go back to the original mezana. What do we have here? We have a case where there was znus, then a marriage, and we are, the rush is permitting her to go back to that first, not husband, that first man who she was with. You see, the only time that there's an isser of machzir grushas is when there's a first marriage, and then another marriage with somebody else, either eris or nisun, then you can't go back to the first marriage. But if there was a first znus, and then a marriage, she can go back to that first guy to whom she was never married. That's what you see from this rush. Even though it's not his topic. His topic is really teaching you, Shiloh, do you need Havchana? Do you not need Havchana? But we deduce from the case that we see, that the rush was discussing, that since the first guy was involved only as a znus, even though she got married to a second guy, to Shimon, she is permitted to go back, as long as she waits 3 months, to that first guy with whom she had znus. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, the various halachas that we just learned in the Gemara and in the Mishnah Sota and in the Shulchan and in the Shalas Haraf, Shuvas Harash. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ha'ezer, Simon Yud, Seif Aleph, we're beginning Simon Aleph. Hamagayish is Ishto, you divorce your wife. Vacharka Zidsa, and she was Mizan with another man, she could come back to the husband, no problem. Mutaz Lachsa Labaila, remember, because the Issa of Master Grishas is only if she had Eris and Renisur with that other man. Then she's off limits. Now comes the Rama, and he's going to pass in the halacha that we just learned a moment ago from the Shuvas Harash. V'chein, let's say she was never married to a man. She was only Mizana with a man. V'cheinim Zimsa in Harishon. She had Znus with one guy. V'niskach l'sheni, and she had Kiddushin, or even Nisun, it doesn't really matter, with the second husband. And the second husband, V'kirsha, she's allowed to go back to that first, again, not husband, but that first man. Muteres lachzor l'rishon, afilu hoysom yichadis l'tchil. Even if the first guy was, a steady boyfriend, not just a steady boyfriend, they were going out for, their high school sweethearts for years, but if they didn't have kiddush or nisuin, even if she married a second man, she's allowed to go back to the first guy, because it's not, she was never divorced, she was never married to that first guy. Okay? That's another kula. Aval, this is the only case that's yasser. This is the case of mach, the issa d'oraisa machzir grushas. Aval niskadshe la'acher. If she's married to a first person and then gets niskadshe to somebody else, and the second husband either v'girsha or meis, he either divorces this wife for the second time that she experiences divorce, or the second husband dies, then and only then is there going to be an issa d'oraisa for her to come back to her first husband. Asur lachs l'rishon. Fine. That's the three halachas that we just learned. Now, the Shulchan Aruch finishes off with a side detail. What happens if the gerushin, let's say the second, afil lo niskar shirak mikoch kol ba'alma, let's say there was some kind of the situation that prompted the get, either of the first husband or of the second husband, was one that she didn't have to be divorced mikra hadin. There was a suspicion that maybe she's a little bit promiscuous. Maybe there's a problem with her, and therefore he gave her a get, either the first husband or the second husband. And therefore, one of them gave a get, not because he had to give a get, because he chose to give a get. Does that change anything in the halachas of machzir grushasa? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. Even if the reason for her get was just a kol that doesn't really necessitate a get, nevertheless, the fact that she's divorced from the first husband, married to the second husband, got a divorce from the second husband, that scenario will ask her to go back to her first husband, as the Chalkas Mechokik explains the Shulchan Aruch. Afilu niskar shirak mikach kol ba'alma. Klomer, beimi rishon, beimi sheni. Afilu hoya hakol rak kol havara. Shein tzricha al pi get al pi din. Even though she didn't really have to get a get, But he divorced her anyway. Since she got a gerushin from the second one, she's not allowed to go back. Fine. Meaning, what the Chagas B'Chagas is saying, that even if the... get wasn't a... let's not get into this. Let's leave that out. Okay, we're going to stop that if here, and we're now going to go to the next if. What we're going to talk about now, we're going to skip Sif Beis, because it's not so Nogea. We're going to go to Sif Gimel and Dalet. We're going to talk about very specific circumstances of divorce, where she doesn't get remarried to another man, because then it would be Masa Grusha, so she can't come and be also derisive of her to go back to her first husband. Let's say a regular case of divorce, but the circumstances of the divorce of the first husband will be that he can't take her back again. I'm not talking about a Kohen. Of course, the Kohen, once she becomes a Grusha, the Kohen can't take her back. I'm not talking about a case where she married a second husband in the interim. Then there's Masa Grusha, so that prevents her from going back. What are situations where a husband divorces his wife, and because of the situations that surrounded the divorce itself, he's not able to take her back? That's the topic of the next discussion. So comes the Mishnah in Gittin, Daf Mem Hayam Beis, and says two things. Hamotzias ishto mishum shemra, says Rashi, sheyotza aleha la'az znus. People are talking that his wife is getting around. So if he divorces her because of that shemra that she has cultivated, that she has developed, that is sort of swirling around her, he's not allowed to take her back. Even if he finds out all of the accusations were false, even if he finds out that there was some people trying to get at him, some people trying to get at her, there are all kinds of nefarious things around that where that those accusations come. But if he divorced her because of this shemra, then he's not allowed to take her back. We'll see why. Secondly, Paskin is the Mishnah, Mishum Neder. If she makes Nedarim, she says, I'm never going to put on makeup. And he's not interested in a wife who swears to never put on makeup. She swears, I'm never going to take a shower again. She swears, I'm never going to, cook a chalent again. He doesn't want to be married to a woman who's never going to make a chalent. So, lo yachzir. Now, keep in mind, what happens if a woman makes an oath to never cook chalent again? She could go to the Beis Din, she could go to the Rav, and be mati the neder, and she can make chalent again. No, once he divorced her for this reason, he could say, as Rashi explains, mishum neder shenadra va'amar, he could say, yeah, she b'ni shenadras, I don't want a woman who makes nedarim, it's not my cup of tea. Why can't he take her back in these two instances, either when there's a shemra or a neder? So Rashi is going to give us a hint, and we'll see it in the Gemara in just a moment. Even if the whole story that she was mizan, it was a false alarm, it was not true, it was made up. Bada means they were false accusations. So if he divorced her only because she made a neder, not to bake chalent, and the neder was uprooted by a chacham, so why can't he take her back? It's just the guy who divorced, now he's taking her back. What's the reason? What's the problem? The time of pliga b'amarai, there will be a machlokes amaron, which we'll see just in 2 minutes. Ikel mandor mishum kalkula. One amor is concerned that this could cause a problem if she marries another husband now, and maybe even has children from the second husband. The first husband will say, "Oh, if I only knew that these accusations were false. If I only knew that I could be matir neder, then I would never have divorced you the first time around, and therefore my original divorce was really on false premises, and therefore you really married to me. Oh, and now you're married to another guy, and had children with him, they're mamzerim." We want to avoid that. So therefore we say, you can never take her back once you decide to divorce her. We'll see that in a minute. V'ikel mand amar, another amar is going to say, no, the reason why we don't let a woman go back to her husband is because we want to let women know that you got to be very careful. Don't start swearing, because if you swear and your husband divorces you because of an oath, because of a neder, your husband's never going to be able to take you back. If you're prutza barayis, such that there are going to be rumors going around about you, and your husband divorces you for that, you're never going to be able to be taken back. Better be careful. As a knas, shelo yubnos yisro prutzas barayis v'nedarim. That's what the Mishnah says. Let's jump to the Gemara. We'll skip the end of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda ben Yumi and Rav Nachman, when do we say that a husband cannot take his wife back once he divorces her for either because there's a rumor about her or because of another? That's only if he told her as he was divorcing her the following. V'husha amar la, mishum shemra ani motziach, mishum neder ani motziach. It's limited. This issur in taking his wife back is limited when he explains away his actions as he's divorcing her. As he divorces her, he explains, the reason why I'm divorcing you is because you're a prutza and people are accusing you of sleeping around, or because you're a nadronis. So what's going to happen if he made it clear? If he articulated it clearly, and everyone knows that this is the reason for the divorce, then there's a concern that what will happen after she'll get married, she'll have kids, and now he'll wake up and say, oh, you remember I said that I only divorced you for this specific reason? And this specific reason is unfounded. I found out that the rumors were false. I thought, you remember I said that I was divorcing you only because you're an Adranis? I never realized you could be Matir Neder. Now that I know that you could be Matir Neder, my divorce was on false premises. I never divorced you. You're still my wife. And these kids that you have from this second man is, I can't call him your husband because you're still married to me, are all mamzerim. So therefore, if he specified as he divorced her, he said loudly, I'm divorcing for this reason. If he said as he's divorcing her, I'm divorcing you for this reason. He's going to be able to say later on, you know, everyone knows why I divorced you. I said, I screamed loud and clear when I divorced you. I'm divorcing you only because of this reason. And now I see the reason is not present. There were unfounded rumors. V'lo. But if he didn't say why he's divorcing her, in his mind, he divorced her because of the rumors. In his mind, he divorced her because he doesn't want to be with a woman who makes an adar. But he never said it out. He never told the community. He never, you know, told her. So then, he was just, gave a get. So why could later he get up and say, the only reason why I divorced you was for this reason that you were, that there were rumors, now I see the rumors are false, so I didn't give a get. You never said anything when you divorced me, why you're divorced. You just gave me a get. I don't know if that's the reason why you divorced me. So just because the rumors are false, that doesn't mean that the get should be undermined. Rashi explains. If he says the words Mishum Nedrani Motziech Behahu Asru Rabbanan, it's an Isidra Rabbanan Lahachs, right? Which is worried that he might mess her up later. So that's why there's an Isidra Rabbanan that he can never take her back, as we'll see. V'lomer Mutla Lahachs. Why? Time of the Masnissan, Rashi is going to explain what I just said. Time of the Masnissan, the reason why the Mishnah says that if you divorce a woman because of Shemra or Neder, that is Mishum Kilkula, Shelo Yikalkulena al Baila La'achar Shetina Sila'acher. We're worried that she'll marry another man and he, the first husband, will start problems with the new husband and the children of the new husband. V'yomar, the first husband, the ex-husband, will say, Yilu ha'yisi odeya shatvaram badoim, if I only knew that these were false rumors, O Shaneder yesh la'afara, that I could have gone and got a hafara to this Neder, I would never have divorced you. I loved you so much. I just thought, you know, you cheated on me. I thought you're an adronis. That's an insolvable problem. I would never have divorced you even for millions of dollars. I feel you know something. Me'aman alo ha'isim kasheh. And in fact, I told you as I divorced you. V'chein amarti b'shas gerushin shemi pnei kach ani motziach. I told you this is the only reason why I'm doing it, why I'm divorcing you. And when I divorce you, I was even thinking and planning that if I find out that the rumors are unfounded, I would take you back. What would happen? Then he'd be able to undermine his get. So therefore, you know, we say, continues Rashi, therefore, you know, we say to him as he's divorcing his wife, because of Neder or because of Motzi Shah, that she has a Shema, we tell him before he divorces his wife, Lefikach Omrim Lo Kodem Keshen, I want you to know, the second you hand her that get, this is not a regular case of a divorce where you could take your wife back. this is a case where you're divorcing your wife either because of a rumor or because she made another. We're warning you, says the Beis Din, before you hand her the get. You're never going to be able to take this woman back. The second you put that get into her hand, it's over for all of eternity. Once he's told that, meaning that's the tachan of Chachamim, that he should be told that. Shuv eino neman lomar. He will no longer be believed to claim that I only divorced you if I only would have known that I could, that it was unfounded, if I only would have known that I could have been made for another, I would never have divorced you. Since he knew, since he was informed by the Beis Din that he can never take her back, then he can't claim anything to undermine his get. It must be that if you're giving her a get, it means you don't really love her. Because if you knew that you can never take her back once you divorce her, you would do the homework before you divorce her. And you still gave her a get, even though you can never take her back. It must be that you are divorcing because you don't really like her. Not because you believe the rumors, not because you don't want to be with an Andronis, but because you don't really like her. And that's why you gave her the get. This is only in a case, let's say I divorced my wife, Stam, I give my wife a divorce. I don't say anything as I'm handing her the get. I mean, when you go to a basin, I've been to a basin for a gerushin, he doesn't give any reasons why he's divorcing her. The basin says, stick out your hand, she sticks out her hand. The basin says, okay, mister, drop the get into her hand. He keeps his mouth shut, she keeps her mouth shut. They don't explain why. This, the Rashi is explaining, the Gemara is telling us that this, or this part of the Gemara is saying, the only time we have this iser for him to take her back, even if she didn't get married again, is if he said as he's divorcing her, "I'm divorcing you because you have a shemra," or "I'm divorcing you because you're an adronis." Then he would have the potential, you know, ability later on to say, "Oh, I didn't know." But if he never said it as he's divorcing her, then he can never make a claim later. You know why I divorced you? I said it as I divorced you. Nowadays, divorces are very quiet. No one says a word. They're absolutely silent. And if they're silent, so then he can never say, "Oh, you know, I divorced you for this reason, that reason, and it's that reason is batel." No, you didn't. You didn't say a word. Yeah, you didn't say a word when you divorced her. It must be you don't like her. So, that's all. Okay. That's what the Gemara has another reason, which we're not going to go into, which we mentioned quickly. Shloyu b'dos yisro prutzes v'arayas. That's why we don't want... A woman should be always scared to be a prutza, should always be scared to make nadarim, and that's implemented by the fact that Chachamim said, "Oh, once you get divorced for one of these reasons, we're never going to allow you to go back to your husband." But we don't really paskin that way, as the Rif, as the Beis Yosef says, "Pasku harif kalishna kama gam harash kasev v'chein hilchasa kalishna kama." Like the concern that I just that we explained at length, that we are worried that if he said at the moment of marriage, at the moment of divorce, "I'm divorcing you because of your nedarim or because of your motzi shem," we're worried that something later on he could question that I didn't know that these were false rumors, I didn't know that I could be made for the nadar, and therefore he's going to cause the kids to be mamzerim. So therefore we just said, if this is the reason for the divorce, and he said this is the reason for the divorce, because of motzi shem or nadar, he's never allowed to take her back. Fine. Now we understood the background. Let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch. We'll be able to finish this sif, and after the sif, we'll stop. We'll just do the next two, three sources. The next few lines. Hamotzei zishta mishum shemer shiatzalah. Passing the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Yud, Sif Gimel. Somebody's motzi is the wife because of shemra, omepnei shina jonis, or this the Shulchan Aruch adds, we didn't see it in the Mishnah, omepnei shi ailonis. She can't have babies, right? She's infertile. She's immature. He divorces her because she's infertile. Okay, so she takes the get, gets married to a new guy. Well, lo and behold, guess what? She has a baby with the other guy. He, the first husband, stands up screaming, "Chai v'kayim, I only divorced you because you couldn't have children. And here I see you have a child with a second husband, so it must be that my original get is foundless. And that kid you and that husband that you're with is Eishes Ish. And those babies that baby you just had, he's a mamzer. She's a mamzer. Mamzeres. No. Sorry, buddy. once you divorced her because she's an alonis, then you can't take her back. Here, we're not going to go into the details because the details are very complicated. The background, there are three opinions of what happened as he divorces. Yeshua redacted with the Omelab, but only what he said as he divorced her. I said, I'm divorcing you only because you have a shemra or an adronis or an islandis. And he doubly enforced his words by saying the inverse as well. And if you're not an adronis, if you're not, you don't have a shemra, if you're not an islandis, I don't want to divorce you. You have to double your words. The iser of taking her back is only if you doubled your words. No, you don't have to double your words, even if you said it, you know, in one direction. Still, even if you didn't say a word to her at the moment of divorce, the fact that the motivation for your divorce was either Shemra, or Neder, or Islandis, all of these three things are things that potentially could be undermined, or found to be not true, or the foundation for your divorce could be, you know, disappear, and therefore you could make the next husband, and the children of the next husband, Mamzerim. We'll just say, in such cases, you can never remarry her. We finish Sif Gimel. Let's do one line of Sif Dalet, which is a similar idea, and we'll finish with that. Next, Sif talks about a very simple case. The case of Roed Dam Mash Machmas Tashmas. It could be some kinds of disease, some kind of allergic reaction, that whenever a woman, whenever the husband is with a woman, she becomes a Nida, because he was with her. Hamotzias Ishtam Epnesha Roed Dam Becholeis Tashmish. He has to divorce her. He's never going to be able to be with her. She's Roa Damachmas Tashish. That means that it's not impossible for her to be here. She's a Nida by definition whenever he's going to be with her. So therefore, he divorces her for that, because she has this disease, because she has this condition, mutation, whatever it is. He can never take her back. Why? Because it's obvious that she has this problem, and that, you know, there's nothing to fix. HaRoa says... Says the Chalkas B'Chalkek, Kan lo pirish pluksa de besamat tzor shiomer. There's no, you don't have to clarify why did you divorce her, because it's so obvious. De miachad asru lo beroa gimel pamim stomach pirusho. The fact that once this happens three times, he's usher to be with her for the rest of her life, then you don't have to say anything. Even by being silent, it's clear that you can't be with her, and that you refuse to, that there's nothing that you could do for this marriage. So once you give the get, it's over. There's nothing that you can't say. Oh, if I know something would have changed, she's off limits to you for the rest of your life. Okay. We will stop here, Be'ez Hashem. And yeah, please, what's your question? The concept that the reason of Machzor Grushaso is to prevent, you know, polygamy in a very convenient way. We could share, you know, we could share our wives. You know, I'll very simply work out, you know, we have a whole club of 20 people. Every week, you know, we'll get married on Sunday, and we'll be together with whichever woman, you know, in the pot. We'll be together for a week. We'll get divorced, marry to the next guy, and then go back to the first husband. That definitely would be a this Isser of Master Grusha. So why did Hashem make the Isser? You know, God's wisdom is well beyond this, is infinite, but certainly, practically, from a practical perspective, it does prevent, polygamy, in the sense of, trying people on for, you know, I'll try you out, and then you try someone else, and try someone else, and then if you didn't like somebody, you just come back to the first. But keep in mind, the Isser of Master Grusha does not stand in the way of Znus. she could be married to her first husband, then try, you know, then go to 10 other men, not with marriage, not with Kiddushin or Nisuin. Yeah, right. Theoretically, it would have been permitted. Without this Issa D'oraisa, she could have married John on Monday and Yankel on Tuesday and Avrami on Wednesday and then David on Thursday and then come back to the first one, you know, right. And that would have all been mutter because within the context of the marriage. And this Issa D'oraisa, yeah, it would be like an Ola B'shus HaTorah, and the Torah makes it that it's not B'shus HaTorah anymore. So it's an Issa D'oraisa, yeah. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful day. Nice to have everybody back. Baruch Hashem.